Jimmy Fallon has the budget and the ability to hire a team that can make this good. You know, if he reached out to me, I'd do him a deal. I told you about this last week. You know, 10 grand and I'll help you set up OBS. It's easy.
Jimmy, come on. We got connections for you, man.
I mean, come on, Jimmy. Just hit me up. I'm only a Google away. Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast. I'm, as always, joined by my wonderful co-host, Ben. Ben, how are you doing?
Good, Pete. It's been a good weekend. Crazy on my community side for Legion, but pretty fun. How about you, man? How are you doing today?
Yeah, very well. I seem to be giving like weather reports at the start of this podcast, and I assure people listening, my life is more interesting than has it snowed in England this week. But it's April and it snowed yesterday, and I don't think I've ever seen that. Anyway, my week's been pretty good. We've had quite a lot of streaming industry news this week. Lots of little tidbits. I say the main focus points that we'll cover in this podcast are a new live streaming industry report from Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet, which they do every quarter. So we're going to break down what the first quarter of 2021 looked like and pull out some key facts from that. We also had Nvidia do an announcement yesterday with some cool new AI platform things. You know, if you think along the lines of Nvidia Broadcaster, what they did with that before, some enhancements to that as well as some new features. And we can discuss Jimmy Fallon's Twitch stream, which we talked a little bit about last week, and you know what a shit show that was, really. So Ben, let's start with the Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet Q1 live streaming industry report. Can you break down some of the big topics for us here?
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, Streamlabs and I think Stream Elements put out a quarterly report, just kind of summarizing the growth of different stream platforms every quarter. So this is the one for Q1, which is the last 3 months or so, and how the different platforms, YouTube, Twitch, and Facebook, have changed in viewership and trends like that over the past couple months. So we talked about this, I think, in December for the last quarter. So it's a full new quarter. And once again, I think we'll start with Twitch. Twitch somehow is being watched even more than before, which is crazy to me. I feel like every time we talk about this, it's more and more people watching and more people streaming per quarter. So that was interesting, too. We saw a huge bump in the amount of people who streamed like last, you know, kind of spring into summer with the quarantine and COVID hitting. But even since then, it's still slowly been ramping up. We didn't have quite as dramatic of a jump as that time. But the number of hours watched per quarter on Twitch is 6.3 million. So I can't even fathom what that number is.
6.3 billion now, that is. So,
oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Excuse me. Yeah.
No, it's easy. Easy mistake to make. Yeah. So effectively, we've talked about this a few times on the podcast, but if you look at 2019, all four quarters, it's a flat line at 3 billion hours watched, right? And then if you look at the four from 2020, you have a massive spike from the pandemic, like between Q1 and Q2. And then it kind of levels off Q2 to Q3 and then kind of spikes again for Q4. And now Q1 2021 is even higher than that. So this is the most hours watched ever that there has been on Twitch by a long, long way, 6.3 billion hours watched. And if you look at Q1 of last year, which was pre-pandemic, I guess, or just starting to get into that pandemic, you've seen an absolutely massive growth. And I know that we're only talking about Twitch here, but it's incredible. We always talk about the bad news on Twitch, but it's actually incredible how much they've grown and, you know, seen growth because of the pandemic that has kind of sustained as we're still, you know, starting to exit the pandemic now.
Yeah, it's crazy because we've been here for so long now. And I guess it's just Twitch reaching new markets and hitting new places it hasn't been before still, which is helping a lot. I'm also pretty impressed to see the hours streamed going up a lot too. So it's not just people watching the platform, but people who are streaming to the platform too are going up. And I don't think that's the case for YouTube though, when we're looking down in comparison. So it looks like YouTube actually dipped this quarter pretty heavily with how many hours are being watched for YouTube gaming, which is specifically live streams on YouTube gaming. It took a pretty big hit from, I think, 1.9 billion down to 1.3 billion, which is the lowest it's been in the past year, actually, of watch time there. So that was pretty interesting to see compared to Twitch, which has had an even bigger spike. Any thoughts on that, Pete?
I mean, firstly, how annoying is it that for the graphs here, for YouTube, they put it in billion? And for Twitch, it was in millions. So it was a comma in,
yeah,
it was 6337 million in Twitch and now billion. So if you're listening, somebody from Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet, whoever puts these graphs together, you know, get your shit sorted. but yeah, YouTube, I think this is probably the biggest insight I've pulled out of this, and something I didn't expect at all, was to see YouTube dropping off, like pretty significantly Q1 2021. Now, I've been racking my brain for a reason for this, and I don't really know if I have one. I don't know if it's because of maybe some esports competitions or something like that that, you know, were present in 2020 and not in 2021 or something like that. But yeah, it's quite significantly down. It probably says a percentage somewhere. But yeah, in Q4 of 2020, we're at 1.9 billion watch hours. And then Q1 of 2021, 1.37 billion. So a pretty steep drop off. Still higher than it was Q1 2020, but lower than Q2, Q3, and Q4 from 2020.
Yeah, it's interesting because the article is kind of making out to be not a huge deal, which I guess is not massive, but at the same time, it's a 30% dip in watch time, which is a pretty big amount to look at for how much to lose for your platform. And also interesting for YouTube is they've actually lost total streamers and hours streamed on the channel. So, on the platform, which is really interesting. And it's consistent over the last four quarters. Even though the biggest spike looks like it was back in like actually when COVID kind of hit last year, which is crazy. So I guess a lot of people started streaming on YouTube, just try it out, and are moving back to Twitch maybe, or just kind of losing interest in streaming on YouTube. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Or maybe even people that find out about streaming from YouTube, try it there, and then eventually get more immersed in this world and find out about Twitch and then move their stream to Twitch. Yeah. So mm-hmm. Exactly like you're saying, I'm trying to describe this as best as I can for the audio listeners, but Ben's nailed it on the head. The total hours streamed and the total number of unique channels that are live streaming is down at its lowest for a year and a half, maybe even 2 years now on the YouTube side. So yeah, it's really seen a massive drop, and I don't necessarily know if there's a reason for that, because we've been talking, you know, quite often on the podcast about how YouTube is making moves in the live streaming space and adding new features like clips. So yeah, this is interesting to see this concurrent viewership and total hours watched have such a drop off.
Yeah, just really quick on the last point for these two. One thing that's super interesting is the number of people streaming on each platform. It looks like on YouTube, it's about 665K channels that are streaming during the last quarter. On Twitch, it's like 12 million, which is like more than 10 times more people streaming on Twitch than on YouTube, which is crazy to me, considering YouTube is thought to be the bigger platform essentially, right, in terms of people who are on the platform. So it just shows how much a gap there is still between number of people streaming on these platforms. And I think YouTube can probably pull them back with some of the things they have going up this year, but just really interesting to see the trends here. But of course, there's Facebook too. Did you have a chance to see that?
Yeah, exactly. We can't forget about Facebook because it is now taking a decent portion of this live streaming pie. You know, it's almost equaling YouTube gaming live. And I know that it's maybe a slightly different demographic, and certainly the games that have been popular on Facebook are different to that of YouTube and Twitch. But it feels to me like Facebook's trajectory in this graph is much more similar to Twitch's. We're seeing upticks in everything: total hours watched, total number of streamers streaming, total number of hours streamed. It's all up from 2020. So this is the highest it's ever been for 2021. So it's seeing a similar trajectory to Twitch, and that kind of emphasizes how weird it is that YouTube has seen a dip in Q1 of 2021.
Yeah, Facebook is actually insane. If you look at some of these charts, I mean, especially in the last two quarters, which is really weird because, so for reference, in Q3 of 2020, which was back in like September-ish probably, they had 260,000 people streaming. Now they have 1.5 million people streaming on Facebook, which is like, I can't do math. I don't know, 5 to 7 times more people streaming the platform in two quarters, which is crazy. And Twitch has grown a lot, but not that much in terms of relative streamer base. So it seems like a lot of new people are checking out, especially the streaming side of Facebook, trying that out. The viewership is still going up too, but not like that insane skyrocket that the number of streamers is right now.
Yeah, and another thing that's different with Facebook gaming is that by far the most watched and streamed category is PUBG Mobile. So I don't even think I've ever seen that in the top 10 on Twitch. So I don't know if their mobile player or their mobile streaming capabilities is much better than Twitch's support is, but that is quite interesting. I think that it's hitting these massive numbers of hours, and it's been really driven in large part by PUBG Mobile, which is a mobile version of the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds game, but yeah, for mobile.
Yeah, there's a lot of mobile games breaking on Facebook, it seems like, especially. There's like Garena Free Fire, and I think Wild Rift just came out in a lot of places. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a big rise in mobile gaming, even on places like Twitch this year. just because it's so accessible in overseas markets too. So I don't know, it's just crazy to see Facebook is still doing really well, and more reason for us to check out Facebook at some point here. We're gonna have to give it a proper run through, I think.
I think I deleted my account like 2 years ago. I'll have to make another account just to keep up with it for the gaming career side. They also talked in the report about the most watched games of Q1 2021. Now, this is something that we cover a little bit more frequently on the podcast because we like to use Sully Gnome and see what games are kind of being watched that week. Not surprisingly, the most watched games or category by far is Just Chatting. Now, I find this quite interesting because when I was reading this, I was thinking Just Chatting is just what Twitch calls it. Like, or is it also called Just Chatting on YouTube and you can select that as a game? Or is it also called that on Facebook? Like, to me, Just Chatting is a category that Twitch has created to try and encompass everything that isn't gaming. And I wonder if the other streaming platforms have copied that, or if somehow in these stats, Streamlabs and Stream Hatchet have been able to pull all that data in. But in terms of actual games, second most watched was Grand Theft Auto 5, as we said last week. This is mostly because of the roleplay and the NoPixel server. And then just slightly behind that, League of Legends, which just is always in the top three, isn't it? 10-year-old game, and it's still always most watched, most streamed.
Yeah, no surprise there. I'm looking through it, and it says Just Chatting was the most watched for all platforms. So I don't know how they're pulling that for YouTube and Facebook, but they're doing something. But they said for gaming categories, which we just talked about this, on Facebook, the biggest one was PUBG Mobile, and for YouTube, it was Green of Free Fire, both of which are mobile games, both of which are kind of like PUBG Mobile essentially designed. So it just goes to show you on those other platforms, mobile gaming is really, really booming. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Twitch kind of has that as one of the big categories next year too, with just the trends that the other platforms are seeing right now too. But honestly, Grand Theft Auto and League of Legends have just been staples for so long, and they're like very, very close for being the most watched games. So I think that just makes sense for the last quarter if you look at the trends and everything happening.
Yeah, well, I think we've probably given that enough talking about, but this, I don't know if me and you are unique, Ben, and we find this really interesting, because I'd love to know how many people actually check out the Streamlabs, and like you said at the beginning, I think Stream Elements do one as well, and all the data. I find it fascinating, and I would highly recommend anybody watching or listening to click in the link in the show notes and have a read for yourself, because it's interesting to know where the industry is going and all these different platforms battling out. But let's move on to talk about what do you want to go for? Maybe Jimmy Fallon's Twitch highlights. did you manage to catch? Last week we talked about our predictions for the stream and how many of them I think I got right.
Yeah, I didn't watch it live, unfortunately, but I did see the highlights of the event. So this was last week, which we talked about in the podcast. Jimmy Fallon was streaming on Twitch with 9 other people. It was like Valkyrie, Sykuno, and Corpse, as well as I think The Roots, which is a band, and some of the cast from Stranger Things. So they all played through Among Us for I think like an hour or two, and it was interesting because they were on open mic the whole time, and some of them did not have the best mics while they were doing this. Clearly some of them were new to Among Us, but some of them weren't, so it was kind of funny to see the difference there. And it was a little crazy to watch. Did you check it live, Pete, or did you watch it afterwards?
No, there's absolutely no chance I'm wasting my time trying to watch that live. it went exactly as I thought it would. It was just people that either didn't know the game or didn't know the rules. Like you said, it was open mic. The whole point in Among Us is that it's silent. Then somebody presses the report button to report a body, and then you talk and discuss who did it. When it's open mic the whole time, people can shout that they've just been killed in a certain location by a certain person. Like, it literally didn't make sense. And it was just a mainstream celebrity trying to get on something that was popular 2 months ago. And I actually felt sorry for people like Valkyrie, like the people that have streamed probably thousands of hours in this game, having to play with a bunch of people that don't know how to play with bad quality microphones and trying like make it look fun because it's going to eventually be highlighted and put onto TV. It was really, really bad. I'm not surprised that it, like, so many people were ripping on it. I mean, it did still hit 125,000 people, and Twitch did put it on their homepage, which I think was something that we predicted Twitch would probably do, because it is a big deal for them to get mainstream celebrities on the platform. But yeah, to me, it needed some kind of moderation or somebody that knew what they were doing to actually run the stream. And then, yeah, just watching Jimmy Fallon's webcam with his like controller up on the screen, and I'm just like, oh my God, please somebody make this end. I actually should have watched it live, because I would have loved to see what Twitch chat was doing. I saw some highlights from, like, did you see the Misgiv highlight when he was talking about the chat putting all kinds of vulgar images because there's no moderation or anything? It was just, it was classic. It's exactly what I expected would happen. And yeah, who knows if he'll ever do it again. He probably will.
Well, and with the chat, that's exactly what I was expecting last week, like I was saying, because compared to YouTube, right, you can moderate the comments, you can, you know, they'll feature on the front page, all that kind of stuff. But in Twitch, if you don't know what you're doing on Twitch and you don't control the chat, then they're going to rip you apart. And that's kind of what we saw happen with this from the highlights that I can see. Even like unmoderated messages just sitting there in chat and not moving because they must have like frozen chat. So then there were these pictures in chat that you guys can probably guess what the pictures were about. Just sitting there like during the whole stream. It was interesting. I think so. While I agree it was a bit of a fiesta in terms of the audio quality and everything else, it seemed like people who did it still had fun when I saw the tweets come out from like Corpse and Sykuno and Ray afterwards. So I still think it was probably a good thing overall just to get some more publicity for Twitch and live streaming and gaming, even if the execution left a lot to be desired. Hopefully at least like gives a bit more attention to everything happening on the platform.
I just, in my head, I'm contrasting it to when AOC played Among Us, and like that was also her first stream, but she clearly either had a much better team behind her or like was just more down with the kids and like knew how these things worked. But that was like... that was entertaining to watch, you know, and I have nothing against Jimmy Fallon. I actually quite like watching his little clips on Reddit and YouTube and things like that. But there's just a right way and a wrong way of doing it. I don't want to give people anxiety about starting their streams thinking that people like me are going to judge and laugh at, you know, not having moderation in chat and having bad quality mics. But Jimmy Fallon has the budget and the ability to hire a team that can make this good. You know, if he reached out to me, I'd do him a deal. I told you about this last week. You know, 10 grand and I'll help you set up OBS. It's easy.
Jimmy, come on. We got connections for you, man.
I mean, come on, Jimmy. Just hit me up. I'm only a Google away. But yeah, I just, it's what I expected, but it did give me a good chuckle knowing that we're going to talk about it again this week and just like re-listening to last week's episode and hearing what we said. And it was just like, well done to us. We pretty much nailed it here.
As we always do. Yeah, just perfect predictions every time. No, he just wanted to give us content. That's what he was planning to do.
Good guy, Jimmy.
I thought it was cool. I don't know. I know it was a mess, but I seemed like the streamers had fun. So hopefully we'll see better versions of this in the future that aren't quite so last minute, it seems like, to put everything together and get a good production going. I think there were some other things we saw this week. The first thing that I'll talk about here is Herman Miller officially signed Tim as their brand ambassador, Tim the Tap Man. Did you have a chance to see that?
Yeah. So this, I mean, Herman Miller is one of those brands that maybe not everybody knows about, but unless you saw the like Logitech collaboration that they did last year, Herman Miller effectively a very expensive ergonomic chair maker manufacturer. They make loads of popular chairs that offices use, and you know, very, very good for you of posture, and they obviously put a lot of money into research and development to make sure that these are like the gold standard of office chair. And they've clearly seen gaming and streaming becoming a big part of that. And last year they did a collaboration with Logitech, which really was just Logitech putting their logo and, you know, their blue, their light blue color on one of Herman Miller's already made chairs. It's the chair that you're using right now, right? So it is a proper Herman Miller chair. It feels like Herman Miller did all the hard work making a great chair, and then Logitech helped them advertise it to gamers and streamers. So this is actually a pretty big deal, I think, like a traditional company that isn't, you know, gamer focused at all, signing Tim the Tap Man, one of the biggest streamers on Twitch or on the internet in general, as a brand ambassador to help promote, you know, good quality chairs that are actually going to help and not hinder your posture. So yeah, I did see it. I think it's pretty impressive. Like, congrats to Tim. I think that's an awesome brand to be ambassadoring. That's the best thing as a content creator, as a streamer, is when a brand you really love wants to work with you. You're like, this is a no-brainer because I get to be honest about the product, like to my whole audience, and I don't feel bad about it, and I'm getting paid. So yeah, win-win, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think Tim had been using Herman Miller for a while. He'd used the Aeron chair, but this is the new Embody one that he just got as the partnership. So it made a lot of sense because he'd already been using it for so long. I was kind of surprised it took them this long because, I mean, since they work with Logitech, they've had like Shroud use the chair on stream and even like make emotes of the chair in the stream. So what they kind of already had ambassadors in the platform, but this is the first official, like, Herman Miller specific ambassador, I guess, versus the Logitech partnership. And they also released, I think, a different version of their chair that's just straight black instead of the Logitech kind of blue to it. So it seems like they want to get more into the gaming space. I think they also released like a gaming version of their Aeron chair, which again is just a black version of the Aeron chair. But it still shows you that they really recognize the gamer space in general and want to get in there. Personally, I've seen a ton of people using Herman Miller's across the board on Twitch over the past year, and not just this chair, but the Aeron and some of the other ones as well. So it makes sense to me to do this, and I wouldn't be surprised that they start adding more ambassadors that are probably these, you know, tier one in streamers by the end of the year. What do you think that would happen as well?
Yeah, I think so. Like, maybe it'll become the Shure SM7B. Like, people will be showing off, oh yeah, look at the chair that I've got. Because the chairs in the streaming and gaming world have kind of gone from the cheap racing bucket chairs to slowly getting more and more about caring about your health. I think probably as like the maturity of gamers and streamers eventually, you know, gets higher and higher, people are going to care more about, is sitting at this desk in this racing bucket chair doing harm to my body? So I'm all behind the big brands getting involved and, you know, selling expensive chairs if people want them. And I do want one. I just need to stomach it. I know that Defrag, like what the editor for the Gaming Careers channel, has just ordered a Herman Miller chair, and it's like he had to get it like shipped into England and then organize a courier to get it up to him. Oh, so like it's taken over 6 or 7 weeks for him to get it. But like I fully am behind people caring about their health when it comes to like ergonomics and streaming, because yeah, you're now sat at your desk for like many hours of the day. And especially professionals like Tim the Tapman, who are literally doing it as their career and making good money doing it, you might as well look after your back. One of the funny things I thought about when you mentioned that he'd been using their products for a while is his old intro video. So probably like 3 or 4 years ago, there was like a clip of him breaking like an old chair. And I don't think it was Herman Miller. I think it was like a traditional gaming chair, but that's like the best advertising for Herman Miller, isn't it? Like, I used to use these crappy racing bucket style chairs, and now I use Herman Miller, and they even support, you know, big me from a few years ago when I was bigger than I am now. So like, these are the best chairs. Like, I think it's perfect. It's such a good collaboration, and hopefully they don't just stop there and they start to work with more and more creators, and then I can do a video about the most popular gaming, the most popular chairs for streamers, and Herman Miller can send me one, obviously, for review. So I feel like this is just a plug in this podcast. I'm just trying to get to work with Jimmy Fallon and Herman Miller.
Hey, you gotta get that hustle, man, whatever you gotta do. No, I agree. I think with so many people being at home, working from home, and then also streaming and that kind of stuff, I'm glad to see the trend towards healthy gaming and streaming. So I think the chair is the start, and we even see like standing desks being more popular now, and fitness streams, things like that. So I'm a fan of that, because it means that people will stay healthy doing this and not develop back problems and all that kind of stuff. So cool to see that. I hope we have more people join the Herman Miller program later this year, potentially. There was also, we saw Courage and Valkyrie, who are members of 100 Thieves. They actually became part owners of 100 Thieves recently due to, I think their contracts got renewed for that, essentially. Is that right?
Yeah, so I think 100 Thieves was a relatively new brand when Courage and Valkyrie signed as full-time streamers. Like, it'd only been maybe a year or 18 months in existence. So this is also awesome, because it's, again, more power to streamers now becoming part owners of a esports organization. And I think from the video that I watched, which was with Nadeshot, who is the founder of 100 Thieves, he sort of says that he thinks a lot of the success is down to these two streamers who funnily enough both stream on YouTube, actually. But yeah, power to them. They probably, if they didn't cash in now, they have some percentage of 100 Thieves. And if that stays in esports, I know it's in like the Call of Duty scene and the League of Legends scene and the Valorant scene, like that's awesome to become a part owner, because I think a lot of people worry about longevity of a streaming career. So if you can get a percentage of a company as big as 100 Thieves, then you're probably catered for life.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see like equity come into conversations now with content creation. I think we had last year Bjergsen from TSM became a part owner as part of his contract renewal, and I don't know what percentage that is, but he was the first I'd heard of with that. And then I think there's something else I'm forgetting, but just the fact that equity is part of the conversation now for content creators is pretty interesting of these brands. Mr. Beast. He started his thing recently where he will invest in YouTubers basically for like a percentage of the company and help grow their channels. So it's the first I've seen this be a conversation really in gaming. You have any thoughts on that?
I think it's difficult from a company's point of view. They would need to have proof of work and success. Like the Bjergsen thing, he'd been on TSM for like 5+ years, hadn't he? So like they probably saw a lot of value in keeping him in contract, and maybe one of the negotiation points was some percentage of part ownership. And maybe that's the exact same thing with 100 Thieves. But it's nice to see from the outside that like content creators are also going to have the ability to shape these companies going forward. Like their percentage isn't just for money. They'll also have, you know, voting rights if they ever need to decide on which direction the company goes moving forward. So hopefully 100 Thieves keeps signing content creators and keeps working hard on that content side, because it's good to empower creators and make more legitimate full-time careers. And that's another thing with like the Tim the Tatman thing. There's probably like a whole different audience that now knows that streamers are like legitimate careers, and they're not just 14-year-old kids. Like they've got proper equipment, really nice setups, and they're doing this professionally and earning big bucks by the looks of it as well. So yeah, congrats to Tim, Courage and Valkyrie. I don't think they listen to the podcast, but you never know, do you?
Hey, if you need some good entertainment for streamers, then we got you. I think it's just really cool to see. It adds more credibility to the space, like I was saying earlier. Because Courage tweeted this out that he's a co-owner, and he's like, you know, I'm a co-owner alongside Nadeshot, Drake, Scooter, Dan Gilbert. Like, so it's really making this business brand essentially just even more known sort of and powerful in the space. And I think we might see a trend towards that. I think we already kind of have that in esports, but I think having like shareholders and co-owners of companies is just kind of crazy to see in this space, people investing and becoming shareholders. So I think we might see more of that in like player contracts in the future for esports teams, as well as even content creation brands like Mr. Beast. And it's just interesting to see how we'll have these content factories sort of as brands essentially growing outside of just like individual creators in the future. I think that could be the trend, even for people who are like Tim or these people who have their own. It's really that they're the person making that content. They might kind of morph into a bigger brand essentially around their channel that you could invest in. I don't know. I could see that being a potential downside of or downstream of where we are right now.
Yeah, for sure. No, I totally agree. What should we move on to next? I quite want to talk about the NVIDIA stuff actually. So maybe we just jump straight into that. So yesterday there was sort of a live stream / video announcement from NVIDIA, which I think they probably do every quarter, maybe every 6 months, talking about some new features and new SDKs that they're working on. One of them that really caught my eye was this NVIDIA Maxine SDK, which kind of tags into the broadcast engine that they talked about and have released products and have done videos about. I think it's called NVIDIA Broadcast, isn't it? Where you can like blur your background or make it like a green screen just with AI and remove noise from your microphone or from people's microphones that you can hear. So all around just making it like a better experience. They've added some features to that SDK. I don't know if they're actually going to come into the NVIDIA Broadcast app or not. But yeah, did you manage to catch this or do you want me to keep going?
I took a quick look through it. I think you probably have more experience overall, but I have a few thoughts on some of the pieces that I saw. Like what are the new features that are really coming out here that streamers might be able to use?
Yeah, so from the little video that they shared, there was four things that they were talking about. AI face codec, which effectively like works to make the quality of your face and like the camera quality of your face and facial features higher, even in low bitrate situations. One really funny one called eye contact, which effectively means that if you need to like look off screen, like say I'm reading a script, not that I'm reading a script, but I'm looking at notes that we've made and articles and things like that, it can correct your eyes to look back at the camera. So that's really funny to watch, because I can just imagine people just like playing games in their like student lectures and their lecturer is going to have no idea because their eyes are just being corrected back into the camera. So, yeah, it was like designed in a way like you can read your lecture notes whilst presenting and it looks like you're still looking directly into Kylo Ren, all I was thinking was like, this is just going to be abused by gamers, like in their online assessments.
Do you feel like it's going to look natural? Because I saw there was a render of the example, but it seems weird to me if you're going to be like looking this way, but like your eye contact is just forced to go this way. It could work, maybe. I won't dismiss it, but I have some doubts.
Not everyone is rocking massive 27-inch monitors next to each other, though, like we are, Ben. Like most people are just like not looking at their screen and looking at a window next to it or something like that, and the webcam is rested on top. So I actually was quite impressed by the example, because at the end they kind of show, they turn all of these features off and show actually what it was like really low bitrate, her eyes not looking at the camera. And then I'll talk about the last two features. And then they turn it back on again. I was like, oh, I didn't really notice she wasn't looking at the camera. So it did look like it probably prioritizes, or it makes it easier to do with darker colored eyes. Like with blue eyes, I think it's harder to change the focus. So we'll see. Anyway, with all these NVIDIA features, they can start off quite poor, but you know they're going to get better as the learning algorithm gets better. The last two, so we did the face codec and the eye contact thing. And they also did, well, one or two features around speech recognition. Really funny that I did a video on like adding closed captions to Twitch, and then like 2 weeks later, NVIDIA talks about this. So I would have loved to have known about this before making the video, but that's the world we live in. So speech recognition, exactly like that. They can put text on screen, closed captions based on what you're saying, and then also translate that into different languages, which I've not seen done before. So I don't know if this is using a speech to text API, like the Google one that I talk about in the video. I probably not. So it's just NVIDIA's own translation and recognition, but it seemed to be pretty accurate and near instantaneous. So maybe we'll see those features added to OBS, and then you can stream to Twitch using NVIDIA's Maxine platform as well. But those were the four features. And I definitely think that some of them are going to get used by streamers, but the eye contact one was the one that made me chuckle the most, definitely.
Yeah, that was the one that I had the most thoughts on. I think the caption thing is actually really cool if there is translation too. Like, I imagine, I actually don't know if there's something like this out there already, but if you have the option to add captions and viewers can like select their language to instantly subtitle whatever you're watching, that could open up a huge market, because I know we've talked about how many new audiences are breaking into Twitch and Facebook and YouTube for all these different parts of the world. So if you can watch anybody with real-time captions for your language, that would be massive. And again, it might already exist, I'm not totally sure, but it seems like NVIDIA's thing could really open up more power for that. So I would love that as a streamer. Some of the other things like the face smoothing and that kind of stuff seems more designated towards like video calls, probably, because if you're streaming, you're probably fine on that end, I would think. Maybe if you're doing like podcasts and stuff on air and you want to have that feed come in, that could be helpful there. But yeah, I don't know, the captions and the eye swap, what is it called, the eye moving, eye contact,
yeah, eye contact. I think like the thing is, they're putting all the technology in place, and then you can see features being built from it. So they're definitely going to be able to do, you know, like Snapchat filters. I know that they have a desktop app as well, Snapchat, where you can have like all kinds of things going on with your face and when somebody donates and all those kind of things. But once NVIDIA has built the technology, which it looks like they already have, then I think they have a strong enough push from their like broadcast team that know about streaming that could probably build some pretty cool features. So really, it's just pushing us down the alleyway of, if you're buying a new computer, buy an NVIDIA GPU. It's been like that for like the last 3 years anyway, because of how much better NVENC is than AMD's version. But yeah, if they keep building more and more features for broadcasters, then that's always a good thing for us people that buy NVIDIA GPUs anyway, or content creators in general that eventually are going to upgrade to an NVIDIA GPU.
Yeah, I think last thing I want to mention, as I just thought of it, is they mentioned a lot of things for like face mesh, and for, there is one thing where they can animate your face just based on audio. So as opposed to, I can't think of the name of the face, what's this, the face thing where people do their streaming? I don't do this as much, but I can't
Snapchat?
Think. No, when you're doing the animated streamer.
Oh, VR tube, or what is it called?
VTubing? Well, that's the concept, but there's a program that lets you kind of translate your face into an animated character. And I can't think of what it's called. I'll think of it at some point here. But basically, they're adding it now so you don't even need to have your face on there. It's just based on audio. So you could just be talking to a mic and it'll animate a character for you to talk on the screen. As well as they showed some things like body pose tracking and all sorts of 3D tracking for AR. So it might kind of facilitate more of the VTubing. That's where I was going with this in the future. We'll have to kind of wait and see there.
Yeah, I think that probably covers everything we need from the NVIDIA side. What last things do we want to talk about? I mean, we haven't talked about Ludwig, which is weird because we've talked about it the last three podcasts now. He is today on his final day. So it's day 31 of 31, I believe. Or day 30 of 31. I'm not quite sure. But anyway, he's finishing. Oh, no. He was wanting to do 31 days. He found out from Twitch that people's subs renew on the 30th day at midnight. So he didn't want to do the 31st day because people will be able to renew their subs. So yeah, it's the final day today. He's already said that he's ending it after this. And I think he's doing something special today where every subscriber that comes today doesn't add to the timer anymore. And instead he just forwards that full $5 onto charity, even though he's going to lose a cut from Twitch's side. So he'll be losing money doing this, but he wanted a reason for people to support the final day so that he could break Ninja's record of 280,000 active subscribers. So to encourage that, he is donating all the money that he makes today through subscribers to charity. So yeah, it's the end. 30 days, 31 days, I don't know. But maybe more importantly, is the Ninja record going to be broken? I actually need to look this up. I should have done it before the podcast.
Yeah, it's 280 something. But I think most importantly, we made predictions on this last week, Pete, and I was right and you were wrong.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Credit to you. It was less than a minute when we started recording last week. And then I think during the podcast, it went up to 15 minutes. And after the podcast, it went up to like 3 hours. So yeah, you are definitely the bigger brain here. He is right now at 255,000 or 256,000. So he's only, what, 20,000 off breaking the record? Less than that.
Mere 20,000. It'd be easy for him. Well, you get to think about the fact that he's been restricting subs too. So if he hadn't done that, he might have even more now. Plus the fact that it's all going to charity on the last day, I think it's pretty certain that he'll smash it, in my opinion. I don't know. It's crazy because I heard, so it went down to as low as 1 second at one point. I was reading an article on that and it came back up. So it actually came very close to ending, although we've seen it fluctuate wildly. I mean, up to like 20 hours even since like getting down to a minute. So I think if he didn't end it, it was never going to end. Maybe in the future sometime, but I can't believe 30 days of streaming straight. Like I can't even, I would never want to stream again, honestly, after doing that.
I saw like a breakdown, like somebody, one of his viewers had done like a breakdown of all of his hours and he was still sleeping like 33% or something. So like you in your head, you're like, that's insane. 31 days in a row. That's incredible. But he's managed to maintain a relatively healthy lifestyle in that. You think of this person as being like incredibly unhealthy if they've streamed that many days in a row, but he's slept a normal amount. He's exercised. He's gone out for walks. Like he's interacted with a lot of different people. He seems pretty mentally stable. So credit to him. He's managed to break the record and not take a massive toll on his health at the same time. At least that's how it appears to somebody viewing the stream. So it looks very, very likely like he's going to set the all-time peak active subscriptions. I like the idea that he's done because you could just keep it going for as long as it keeps going, but then it's always going to end on a downer, isn't it? It's always going to end when people are so sick of you being live that they've stopped supporting you. Whereas this is now, he's going to end the stream by donating potentially $200,000 to charity, like a big chunk of anything that gets subscribed to him today is getting donated to charity. So that's like a common goal that people are going to push. He's going to set the, I reckon he will set the new record probably quite easily. Maybe he'll even break 300,000 active subscriptions. And then it's remembered as this great experience when he did 30 days streaming, donated money to charity, set the new record. And then that's like a cool thing to think about rather than it dying off slowly and becoming like this annoying thing that he doesn't want to keep doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. It's like a big finale essentially to the whole event as opposed to a slow drop off, which is cool. I think we should probably talk about quickly the fact that I saw some discussion around this, that it's by subbing to him that he's going to donate to a charity versus donating directly to a charity, which means that Twitch is going to take a cut of people's subs, essentially. And it's theoretically, you're losing out on some money that could go to charity, right, by doing this method. But I think it's so that he can break the record from Ninja. So I kind of understand it. They do take a smaller amount than, you know, your average affiliate or partner for Ludwig. I'm sure it's like 35% or something versus the full 50, but that's still a solid chunk that could go to charity instead. And so I'd be curious to see if like Twitch would try to support that or something by matching it. I doubt they will, but it just kind of sucks when you want to do this kind of thing and you have to lose some amount of it to Twitch just to support the charity too.
Yeah. I mean, credit to him. Let's see how today goes. I'll probably have it on in the background whilst I'm working and see, you know, how hype of a last day of streaming it is. I'm sure lots of people are going to be checking it out to see what goes on the last day. Hopefully he's planned some content around it. We've been going on quite a long time, so I think there is one last piece of news which I think is worth talking about, really, which was yesterday. Harris Heller, who is, I'm sure everybody who listens to this podcast also subscribes to him on YouTube, another popular content creator who talks a lot about Twitch and YouTube and streaming and all those kind of things, has announced that he's no longer streaming to Twitch. He's cancelled his partner contract and is moving his live streams to YouTube. We probably should have tied this in when we were talking about the Stream Hatchet report earlier and the big dip that YouTube has had. But yeah, he's moving away from Twitch and moving his streams to YouTube. So what are your thoughts on this, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised to see it. I'm not going to lie, but I'm not. It kind of makes sense, I think, for him. I've watched a lot of Harris content, and it seems like he wants to get away from gaming a little bit in terms of more like vloggy stuff and even podcasting. So I think YouTube could be good for that. Although I'm sure gaming will still stay a part of it. So, and you know, he's got such a big base on YouTube that it makes sense to have all your videos and your streams on one area versus trying to convert, which is always going to be a challenge no matter how good you are or how much of a streaming expert you are. I'm sure, Pete, like even you have a difficult time converting your YouTube viewer base into Twitch viewer base, essentially, because it's just there's friction there. So I think it makes sense. I'll definitely be watching to see how it goes for him, and because I don't watch a lot of YouTube gaming myself, to be honest. But you know, if there are people moving from Twitch to YouTube, I might give it a chance. Did you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, if you'd asked me before we looked at this stream report, I would have said this makes total sense. Like, YouTube is going to probably be the dominant platform in 5 years' time, so he's going ahead of the curve, like similar to Valkyrae and Courage. They've seen like massive years last year. They've matched their subscriber count easily over on Twitch. And like all things are pointing to when YouTube really wants to promote live streaming, it's just going to start recommending live streams like as a next up video or something like that, or have a central place and all these kind of things. Like it's already got the user base visiting the website every single day that it just needs to promote live streaming more. And it will be the number one platform, whereas Twitch has to actually get people to find out about Twitch and visit the website. They're not already on Twitch, and even though Twitch is owned by Amazon, it's going to be very hard for people on Amazon to follow through to get to Twitch. So like a lot of us content creators, myself and Harris included, have been talking up YouTube for quite a long time. So I respect it. I think it's an awesome move. He's kind of putting his money where his mouth is. Like, he thinks it's going to be the biggest platform. He echoed in his video that he doesn't have any bad feelings towards Twitch. He just thinks it's going to be the best place for his live streams moving forward. One thing that I did think was interesting is that he's streaming on a second channel. So not on the Alpha Gaming channel, but on his personal Harris Heller channel. But yeah, I think it's awesome. I'm going to try and catch some of his stream again today. Looks like I've got quite a few different streams to watch. Hopefully I do get some work done. but yeah, I think it's really interesting. And the only thing that's made me question it is this report that's come out with YouTube's Q1 being so bad. But I feel like YouTube can fix the problem just by recommending live streams much more. So it makes sense to me.
I hope they do, man. I was trying to watch Doc on YouTube yesterday, and it was so frustrating because I literally can't figure out turn on the chat on YouTube. Like, I was sitting there for a good 5 minutes, like, where is the chat? And I just could not find it. So I clicked out because it was so frustrating to figure out how to actually watch the stream. But it's such an easy problem to solve. So I don't know. I hope they improve that, because it seems like you said, if they just flick some of the features, it'd instantly be a much more compelling experience for people. So I don't know. We'll have to see. But I think it makes a lot of sense for Harris, and I'll definitely be watching that, because we need more like example YouTube creators who've moved from Twitch. And I know Courage and Valkyrae have done it, but the more people that can prove that path works, then I think we'll see more competition from YouTube down the road for Twitch too.
I think it's worth mentioning as well, because I saw some comments of people thinking that Harris got paid by YouTube to move across, which is what which is what happened with Valkyrae and Courage. Like they signed contracts to stream on YouTube, but it sounds like at least Harris is doing it purely by his own choice. He wanted to cancel his partnership on Twitch so that he could stream on YouTube, and now that's what he's doing. So yeah, really interesting. We did have a viewer question, but we've kind of gone over our timer, so I think we probably save that for next week because it is a good one. We'll leave you teased with that. So anything else you want to cover, or is that it, Ben?
I think that's it, guys. But if you have your questions, definitely let us know on YouTube or Twitter or your podcast listening platform of choice with a review, because we definitely look for those and are happy to answer those on the stream if you have them. So let us know.
Yeah, I think that'll probably do it for this week. So got a few streams to watch today to see how Ludwig and Harris Heller's streams do. But we will catch you in the next week, which... what are we doing now? Where are we? We're mid-April. So yeah, at the end of Q1, that's why we've had the Q1 report. Entering into Q2 and seeing if YouTube can bounce back from a pretty disappointing Q1, I guess. Maybe Harris will be the reason that they end up growing so much. The savior of YouTube. We'll see. Anyway, catch you in the next week, guys. Peace.
See ya.